what I would say is that they kind of prioritized Africa from a rhetorical sense, but when it came to the follow-up and putting it into practice, they really didn't, you know, make good on their promises, right? So the president promised, you know, a seat at the table for Africa when global decisions were being made. They didn't get that. They didn't get the reform of the international institutions like the UN Security Council or the World Bank that he also promised. You know, he obviously promised to travel to the continent, and he has delayed the trip, you know, multiple times since he made that promise. So I think that what Africans feel is rather let down, you know, not because they had such high expectations of the United States. It's that Biden created high expectations for himself and his administration, which he failed to live up to.
When you say he created those expectations, you mean during the big U.S.-Africa summit here in 2022?
Well, even before that, you know, 2 weeks after his inauguration, he addressed the African Union summit, and he promised African leaders just 2 weeks into his administration that things were going to be different, that Africa was going to be a top priority for the United States, that he was going to go there, and that things would be different. So he promised that 2 weeks after he started. It took 2 years to have an African leaders summit in which he kind of doubled down on these promises, right? He said, I'm all in on Africa. That didn't materialize in the way that people expected it to.
What could he have done to make relations better and to beef up the relationship that the U.S. has with African nations?
Well, I mean, he could have spent more of his own time engaging African leaders. Let's remember that when some of the biggest decisions were made, like imposing sanctions on Russia after its invasion of Ukraine, or in decisions around COVID vaccines, Africans were not at the table when major international decisions that had huge consequences for the continent as a whole were being made. And that goes against the promise that he made. So he could have included those conversations among Africans. He could have gone to the G20 as opposed to the G7.
Why Angola?
Why Angola? Well, Angola has become the kind of darling of the United States right now. Angola is a strategic country. It sits on the Atlantic coast, so it's essentially a neighbor of the United States. It's a country that for its entire independent period has been very squarely in the kind of Russia-Chinese communist orbit. And Washington has been working mightily to move Angola out of this communist orbit and into an American orbit. So they want to keep a Chinese naval presence out of Angola. They're trying to displace Chinese investment. They're shining a light on what many U.S. officials call kind of improper lending practices to Angola by the Chinese. And, of course, now with the Libido Corridor that he's going to inaugurate for maybe the fourth or fifth time, and he's cutting the ribbon on this thing, he has a rail line, so an investment in infrastructure, which he has often criticized China of, and yet he's now, you know, using the Chinese playbook. But it's a critical investment for the United States because it, you know, taps into those kind of critical mineral resources deeper inside of Africa that we know are of great strategic importance to the United States, and he's bringing them out to the Atlantic coast away from China.